This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. Come February, researchers at CERN will be firing up the Large Hadron Collider again to continue their search for that elusive God particle, the Higgs boson. Over the last couple of years, we've been bringing you reports on the hope-filled milestones and the dramatic setbacks that the scientists working at CERN have seen. But this week, while the collider is being readied for the next round of experiments, we thought it would be a good time to step back, take a look at the big picture of the work they're doing there. What experiments do the scientists hope to do over the next couple of years when things get moving again? What are the chances of finding the particles they're looking for or finding evidence for, say, string theory? What happens if they do find the Higgs boson? Does the collider retire? And what if they find no evidence for the particle? Will some scientists be delighted? We'll be taking your questions, too, if you want to know more about the physics they're doing at CERN. Now's the time to ask, because I have just the right person here to answer it. Amir Excel is the author of the new book, Present at the Creation, the story of CERN and the Large Hadron Collider. He's a Guggenheim Fellow and a research fellow in the history of science at Boston University. You can phone in our questions or your questions to him at 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK, or you can send us a tweet at SciFry. At SCIFRI. Welcome back. It's always good to see you.
Great to be on the show. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Tell us about the history of people think that this sort of sprung up overnight, but there's a long history to the collider, isn't it?
Right. A half a century.
Half a century.
Right. 1954 is when the lab was established, and it was inspired by the Manhattan Project, actually, in the United States during the Second World War. And what the Europeans wanted to do is to study the atom for purely peaceful purposes, no military applications at all. And that's when they founded CERN, although Americans were involved in it from the beginning. Isidore Rabi, a Nobel Prize winner, was on the board right away, too, when CERN began. And they were always up there with accelerator technology, being either the best accelerator or competing with the ones here.
Mm-hmm. You've written about a lot of things in your career, right? You've written about uranium, mathematics. You've written about Peking Man, Jesuits. How does the Large Hadron Collider rank or rate into that long list of real interesting stuff?
You know, Ira, every book has its own life, and this one I can't give up. It's like it's my passion.
Is that right?
Yes. The Large Hadron Collider is like nothing I've ever done.
Tell us why. Share with our listeners why. What's so exciting about this?
Well, I was always very interested in the physics. I'm trained as a mathematician, but I took a lot of physics. And for this book, I was very fortunate. It was serendipity. I got to interview 13 Nobel Prize winners in physics, all of them involved in one way or another in the Large Hadron Collider. And I got to meet the heads of the experiments at CERN and lots of scientists there. And the excitement is just so infectious. It's unbelievable.
And what is the excitement centered on? Is it the Higgs boson that they're looking for?
Well, not only the Higgs. The Higgs is the reason the machine was built. This is, the largest machine on Earth, the largest machine ever built, 16 and a half miles around. And each of the detectors is the heavy, one is the heaviest, the other one is the largest scientific instrument. So you have all that there, but they're really excited. So it was built for the Higgs boson, but they have other purposes as well. One is to look for, dark matter candidates through supersymmetry. So most of the scientists I talk to, the physicists at CERN, are hoping that one of the supersymmetric partners, these are particles believed to exist because of a theory called supersymmetry, will be found and will explain the dark matter that permeates all galaxies. This is actually more voted for than the Higgs.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you might find evidence of what the particles that make up all this dark matter is.
Right. Now, the thing is, the Higgs is almost a cliche, so that's why they're looking for something more interesting.
Well, what does the Higgs do for us? Why is it so important to find it?
Well, it's not too important. It's just the God particle.
The God particle.
Yeah, it gives everything its mass. So, of course, it's a very dramatic particle. It's the one particle right after the Big Bang. The Big Bang is this huge explosion of sheer energy. And a trillionth of a second after this energy bursts out, you have a particle that causes itself and all other particles to get mass. So mass is created through the Higgs mechanism. And because in quantum mechanics, in quantum field theory, when you have a field, it's a Higgs field that causes it. But when you shake the field, so to speak, like holding a blanket, you have a wave. And as we all know, a wave is also a particle because of quantum mechanics. And that's how the Higgs particle idea came about, because there's a need for a field there that creates the mass in the universe. And when a field is excited, you get a wave, and a wave is a particle. So that's why they believe it exists. But most of the physicists I talk to think that the Higgs will certainly be found, but the supersymmetry is more interesting to them.
Could they have found it already and they're not telling us?
That's a really good question. When you arrive at CERN, and I have to tell you about CERN itself, it's like a trip of a lifetime, of a lifetime. I've been there several times. It's like going to...
It's in the mountains, right? France and...
Right.
Switzerland?
It's between France and Switzerland, the border region, and it's between two mountain chains, between the Alps and the Jura Mountains in France. So it's in the sort of hilly area, but it's all underground, 300 feet underground. And, you know, it's a very special place. But when you go to CERN, in the cafeteria, there's the pictures of various things that were discovered, and one of them is a picture of a Higgs. The Higgs looks
Wait. When did you see this? There's a picture of a Higgs.
Yeah, there's a picture of a Higgs.
And then it shouldn't be there if it wasn't discovered there? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It was discovered, but they don't have enough evidence for it. It's a Higgs candidate. And that's what they call something when they don't have enough evidence for it, statistical evidence. And physicists are interesting people. They want 5 sigma for those.
5 sigma.
5 sigma. That means probability is overwhelming.
So it's got to be like 99% sure.
99.99999. Yeah, something like that. Several nines there.
So until they're that sure, it's still just a candidate.
Right.
How do you know that you've discovered the Higgs?
Well, the Higgs can... You can't see a Higgs. You see it's decaying into other particles. And the golden channel, meaning the one that's easiest to detect and the one that's favored by most physicists, is for muons. Muons are like heavy electrons. Mm-hmm. They're 209 times heavier than the usual electrons, but otherwise they're the same. And the muons have this capacity of going through a lot of things. They can go into our whole atmosphere and then go 100 meters underground. They have amazing penetration power. Yeah. Now, they penetrate the entire detector. The detectors have these various levels in them, and they go through all the levels, so they're very easy to see because they're only a particle that goes out. So when you have 4 muons, one is the antiparticle of the other, or 2 pairs of particle-antiparticle pairs, it looks like a cross. God particle.
God particle comes from.
Well, maybe. So
they have to ask Leon Letterman who wrote the book.
Right. Named it the God particle. Right. Exactly. He's the one who called it the God particle.
So that's what they're looking for. That track is. So that was sort of like to be the fingerprint. Of finding it.
That's the fingerprint of the God particle. Now one goes up, one down, one to the right, and one to the left, something like that. Because of conservation laws in physics, and. They saw that. Now, I should add that they didn't see it in the LHC. They saw it in the LEP, the large electron-positron collider, which was the accelerator, the same size as the Large Hadron Collider, which was dismantled in the year 2000 to make way for the Large Hadron Collider because they use the same tunnel.
Ah.
It was in the same tunnel that the LHC occupies right now. And the scientists discovered those hints of a Higgs already in the year 2000, and they begged the administration to allow them a few more months to get more data. The administration was really excited about this new collider, the Large Hadron Collider, and they said no.
No, we need to get the ground broken and moving on it. Wow. Right. So that's where the evidence you think is
right.
From.
There's also evidence from Fermilab in the United States for Higgs in a conference.
They don't want to be overtaken, do they?
No. They are competing to the last
minute.
They
are really, exactly. It's like a football game in the fourth quarter.
Right, exactly.
They're going to wring as much information as they can before you turn the switch on.
Except the one team is much smaller, playing with at a disadvantage because their accelerator has less power. But less energy, but we should say that the Higgs should be, in theory, given what scientists believe about it, should be detectable by Fermilab as well. by the Tevatron.
Are they claiming they may have some evidence for it?
I've seen evidence for it in a physics conference, but it's right under the noise. So they really want to go above the noise. That gives you statistical evidence, strong statistical evidence. So I think the Higgs is probably there already. It's just data analysis, but that's my own personal opinion.
Well, you know, because I have interviewed physicists who say, I would be just as happy or happier if we found nothing. Because the fun is in the hunt.
Right, yeah. They all say that. And the new theories waiting, several theories. One of them is supersymmetry that we mentioned. Also, string theory, which you mentioned.
Right.
Although string theory is harder to confirm with the LHC. It probably needs a lot more energy.
Yeah.
And they've already, they discovered that there are no black holes at the energy levels they're using right now. The CMS just announced it a few days ago.
Oh, is that right? Because people were concerned they may be creating those black holes.
Yes.
So they can't make one at that energy level.
Exactly. And they can't make, also there are cosmic rays that were detected recently, about in September, 16 cosmic ray events with a million times the energy of the Large Hadron Collider, and they didn't create a black hole, so I think we're safe for at least a while.
We're safe. And so when do they turn on? What was this incident with the baguette being dropped somebody was eating lunch? What happened there?
Yeah, they always have stories like that in a Large Hadron Collider. It's interesting to note that they stopped the machine for the winter because of the electricity. They get electricity for free from a French company called EDF. It's all nuclear energy,
right.
So it kind of recycles into nuclear studies, nuclear science. The company EDF gives them the energy for free, but they ask them not to use it in the wintertime because in the Geneva area where the collider is, where CERN is headquartered, mm-hmm. they use a lot of electricity for heat. So they need the winter months to have without the collider running.
So they'll be cranking it up in February.
Then. Oh, yeah, and they're going to keep it for 2 years is what they're saying right now.
Even through the next winter?
Yes, yes. They're going to keep it running for two. They may break for the winter, but they're not going to stop it for an overhaul as they had originally planned after a year of operations. They're going to go for 2 years because of the Higgs. They want to find the Higgs. So the management wants to find the Higgs. The scientists say, hey, we want something more interesting.
Yeah, that's old stuff. We're talking with Amir Axel, author of Present at the Creation, the Story of CERN and the Large Hadron Collider. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. You can also tweet us at SciFry, at SCIFRI, and we'll talk more about the Large Hadron Collider. It's fascinating stories and the efforts to try to get this up and running finally. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR. You're listening to Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking with Amir Axel. His new book is called Present at the Creation, the Story of CERN and the Large Hadron Collider. Our number 1-800-989-8255. Lots of people want to talk about this. Let's go to Randy in St. Louis. Hi, Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there.
I had a question. Let's say they do find the Higgs particle. What are the chances of taking that and harnessing that energy to make weapons of mass destruction, or if that's even a possible theory?
Okay, good question.
No, the Higgs itself can't be used for anything. Antimatter was made dramatic in Dan Brown's novel, which takes place at CERN. But as I mentioned at first, CERN is dedicated to studying the atom and its components, the elementary particles, with absolutely no military applications. Now, having said that, suppose that somebody broke in and took their antimatter. The Higgs can't do anything. The Higgs decays immediately, and if you find one Higgs, you're really lucky. So you need a lot of them for statistical evidence. You can't do anything with the Higgs. But with antimatter, which they actually create at CERN, let's suppose somebody comes and tries to steal it. And we should say right away that the amounts are so tiny that these antiparticles actually go to the chamber, to the edge of the chamber, chamber walls, and they annihilate there with actual particles, with normal particles. A scientist can stand in a room and not be affected by it. So you're really talking about a huge amount of antimatter that should be, if you want to create a bomb.
Yeah.
But, and also, you can't contain it very easily.
Not like in the movie. That was really science fiction putting it in a sort of magnetic bottle.
Yes.
At least for now.
I don't think they'll ever have. You invest too much energy in it. You can get uranium out of the ground. You make an atom bomb, and that's powerful enough. I mean, that's so destructive. Who wants to play with it? You know. So
let's go to Chris in the Wilmantic, Connecticut. Hi, Chris.
Thank you for taking my call. On the other thing I'm finding about science fiction, which has a tendency to be right on more than it is wrong, aren't you afraid of you find a God particle, get enough together, they'll start rearranging our universe?
The universe will start rearranging. Well, there have been stories about CERN when they couldn't find the Higgs. Something was always going wrong with the machine, and people were saying, that's so unlikely. Everything breaks down. Maybe the God particle doesn't want to be discovered and is already rearranging the universe. So, people say things like that. But physicists don't think so. They think the Higgs may be there. If there's no Higgs, there's another kind of mechanism that does what the Higgs is supposed to do.
Oh, so it's an alternate theory.
Yes, there's an alternate. In fact, Steven Weinberg, an American Nobel Prize winner in physics, used the particle is named after Peter Higgs. But Peter Higgs did is to show that the mathematical theorem, going back to Weinberg and Goldstone, another person, and Salam, it can be circumvented, and that theorem stood in the way of the existence of a Higgs. Now, Steven Weinberg then went on and predicted the existence of two particles, the W and the Z, which need, for their mass to be created, they need the Higgs mechanism. Now, so it should be called the Weinberg particle, although it's named. Five other people made the same discovery as Higgs at the same time about the theorem being circumventable. I'm sorry for it being very complicated, but the name, the Higgs, is very complicated. So Weinberg then went on and created another theory called Technicolor, and that's a competing theory to the Higgs boson. So mass has to be created because we exist here, and we know that the Big Bang had no mass at the beginning.
Had no mass.
No mass.
So mass had to come
energy.
Out later.
Yes, exactly. So
something had to give us the mass we have today. And one thing could be the Higgs.
Right.
The other is this competing theory.
Right. By the same
Technicolor.
Person. Yes, exactly.
By Steven Weinberg.
Right. Yeah. It requires more energy. So people believe in the Higgs. And the Higgs is not believed to be very heavy. It's believed by most physicists to be within the range of the Large Hadron Collider.
Now, when you say that, in other words, Einstein talked about the equivalence of mass and energy. So if you want to make something massive, you just pump a lot of energy in it and you create a massive particle.
That's
right?
Exactly the
right.
principle.
So you're saying that if we don't have to have something so massive, we don't have to have such a big collider to create those giant collisions
right.
on the energy, and this thing might pop out in a lower
exactly.
energy level.
Yes, it's likely to come out of Fermilab as well. And Fermilab is much less energy than seven times less.
How competitive is this world?
They're very
physics?
Competitive.
It's just like football or baseball. Or
yes,
something.
But on the other hand, at CERN itself, what you hear is a lot about cooperation. It's a very unusual place, CERN. And I've heard about it before going there. For many physicists, they say, this is the only place I've been. Each one would say that. The only place I've been in my life where people are just into cooperation and friendliness. And even though technically they compete and somebody may get a Nobel Prize and somebody else not, they are very into cooperation and collegiality and all that. And you see it right away. As soon as you approach CERN, as soon as you come into the complex there, you see it. People are just, it's an incredible place.
What's in the milk over there that makes them less competitive about
it? You know, it's funny you should say that. I wrote one chapter in my book. I named it The Cows of Sissi and the Black Hole, because the cows, there is the cow pasture there, and maybe there's something in the milk, and the cows always stand as far away from the Large Hadron Collider as they can. Maybe they know something about the black holes that we don't know.
And we once had plans here to build a super collider. Remember back in the early 90s, right? And it didn't get the funding.
That was really a disaster. In 1993, we would have had a much more powerful collider, and Congress stopped it right after the tunnel was already partly dug.
In Texas.
In Texas, yeah.
Steven Weinberg's territory.
Exactly. And he was testifying in front of Congress very strongly to continue digging and to get enough money to complete the project, but he lost.
Hmm. And so CERN then got more impetus for it.
Exactly.
People
yes.
turned toward it.
Right. And American scientists now go to CERN in much larger numbers. In fact, CMS, one of the two competing teams there, has a third of its scientists are American.
How do you get to work there? What do you have to? What kind of lineup is there, and who do you have to convince?
Well, my daughter is studying physics, and she wants to work there. But they told her you have to be European. So the first thing, you have to be a European. Yeah, as an American, you can work there, but it's a 3-year institution. You can't be working at CERN because it's a European organization. But you can be a member through your university, an American university or any other university.
Well, Amir, it's a fascinating book. The present at the creation, the story of CERN and the Large Hadron Collider, Amir Excel. Thanks for coming down to Boston to New York for us.
Good. So what's your wish for the new year? Do you wish for a Higgs or a supersymmetry? Or?
Right in my living room.
No black holes, though.
No. I don't think we'll get one. No, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, right. You know, as a science, as a detective story, as you know, it'll be interesting to see who wins.
I hope we get something this year.
Yeah?
I hope so.
They'll give us something else to talk about and bring you back.
Good.
Thanks, Amir.
Thank you. Good.